Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Yo, we are back.
What's up, man?
Man, what's going on, Mike?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Man, I'm tired. I am tired is the key word here.
Okay.
A lot of work went into these last couple of weeks.
It's a lot of work going into just being the boss in general. So
I guess so.
When you're the boss, it's a lot of work. A lot of people think that when you're at the top, you're the boss, you don't have to do anything anymore. But you actually have the most responsibility, buddy.
You know what was one of the best questions that I got during this brief hiatus because of work and mental health? Yeah. What exactly do you do?
Somebody asked you that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like, damn.
Wait, if somebody asked you that, just tell them a lot of things. No, just say I do a lot. Just say I do a lot.
No. I actually went through it. It was just like, yo.
In your 21 Savage J. Cole voice, a lot.
Like, this is what I do. And folks was like, so you important?
Damn. Bang, what Cole say, bro? Sometimes you got to pop out and show niggas. I'm going to need you to start popping out and showing niggas.
I was like, wow.
Of yourself, bro. All right? I'm going to need you to get on that. I need you to get on that pedestal, fam. All right? Pop out and show niggas, dog, just in case.
I mean.
Hey, look, bro. I want to hear that. I don't want you to get humble. I don't want to hear
I'm not being humble.
I don't want to hear none of that humble shit, G.
You know not saying? Being look, humble. Look. I'm actually about to go to quite opposite. I'm about to go to the opposite.
Like, but these you look.
The popping out, me popping out and showing niggas.
Pop out and show niggas.
The pop out is in different places now, Mike. The pop right. out is in different places.
Yeah.
So my popping out and showing niggas, the niggas who need to know are probably not in those places. So I'm straight. I'm good. Right. Great. I'm straight. Right. I be in places that I need to be.
But if you ever feel like you're in that position or you feel like you need to like...
So if I ever have to come down, I will come down.
Do it.
But now it's like, yo, I'm the director of content for Radio 1 and Reach Media. I oversee the editorial side of things on the radio side. Oh, man. You do a lot, I guess. Yeah, like, yes. Yes, I do a lot. But it's good. It's cool, man. Some dude, I think this episode 201.
Yeah, we haven't potted since 200.
Yeah. A much needed mental health break. I ain't even gonna lie.
For sure.
It's if I had to rate my mental health between 200 and probably this weekend, it was poor.
Okay.
There's been a lot going on. I will say, though, speaking of popping out and showing niggas, shouts out to my team. We had virtual meetings take place a couple of weeks ago. And, hey, man, I think we killed it.
Okay.
I think me and the team killed it. And then we had another one that same weekend. You know, me and the whole squad killed it. So then we headed to Atlanta. And I think we did very well then. So yeah, a lot of stuff. Some stuff I can't mention here on the pod.
Understood.
But when it comes out, oh, I can't wait. Look.
So look. I was gonna ask you. I was like, a perfect time to pop out of show niggas would be this upcoming weekend. You're not going back to Atlanta this weekend, are you?
No, I'm not.
See, that's what I'm talking about right there, fam. That's what I'm saying right there.
So, unfortunately, Weeso did not invite me to Birthday Bash. He said that because of the amount of special guests that's going to be on deck, that they didn't have enough room. But when I went to Atlanta.
So let me ask you this. So remember I talked about, I said I wanted to go down there possibly. I wouldn't have been able to get in. I would have been fucked, huh?
Probably.
Damn.
But then I get to Atlanta and folks is like, so man, we can't wait to see you next week.
How are you not invited to Birthday Bash, G? That's crazy.
We got to talk to Weeso.
We're going to have a conversation with Weeso. Well,
we got to talk to Weeso.
We're going to have to hit him in the group. I'm going to send him a text in the group. I'm finna text him in the group right now.
Yeah, text him in the group.
I'm going to text him in our little and Weeso in our little thread. Tell him like, hey, bro, me and Bang, we popping out this weekend to Atlanta. We good?
Because they show was like, yo, why you ain't coming? But I'm tired of Midway. I'm tired of that port. It's like me and that motherfucker is like on a first name basis.
I hate you.
Like, I know them and they know me. I'm tired. I get to sit my ass down. And then in August, I got to go to New York. I'm tired. Man, mentally, I'm getting back. You know, how you doing?
I'm okay. Physically, I feel all right. You know, I told you I'm back playing softball now on Sundays. So, you know, the first couple weeks, you know, body was aching. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, feeling all right. Ankle feeling good a little bit. The pain doesn't last about a week after I play. It's like a couple days. So that's how you know that I'm feeling good, you know, physically. And last week I did a little fast. I did a little fruit and water fasting for a couple days.
So all you just drunk was you ate
water,
fruit and drunk water.
Yeah, that was it. A couple days. It was something I wanted to try. You know, something just to test it out. I know, like, you know, you need your protein and you need to eat vegetables and all of this shit like that. But it was like, I do 2 days. I seen somebody else post about it. I forgot somebody was doing it for a week. I'm like, I don't know if I could do a week. I said, let me try it for a couple days. So I told the wife to, you know, just get like a little mixture of kind of everything. I'm not against any fruits, actually. When it comes to fruits, I eat any fruit. It don't even matter. So, you know, she had like I eat fruit every day, but I just haven't done it like breakfast, midday, end of the day, straight for 2 days. I actually was supposed to do it 3 days, but I end up breaking it. But that was because I went to the Brewers game in Milwaukee with my old man and my homie. We had went to the Brewers game and, you know, I couldn't go to the baseball. I was doing it and I couldn't go to the baseball field and not get a beer and eat at a baseball game. That's crazy. Absolutely crazy. So, but I ended up doing it for the next 2 days and it was cool, bro. Like I could see the difference in doing it. Like you could feel a difference amongst your body, you know, more energy and, you know, you feel a little more, get a little more pep in the step. You know, so it was cool. Something good to try. You know, I would suggest it. I wouldn't suggest it for more than a couple of days, though. So, but it was cool, though. I was able to last. My wife, she didn't last a day. She was going to do it with me, and she couldn't last. She went to McDonald's after she got off work.
Damn.
Yeah. So, sorry. One of us had to be strong. But other than that, physically, I feel okay. Mentally, it's cool. Mentally, I'm all right, you know, so I can't complain. Father's Day was this past weekend. Father's Day was cool. How was your Father's Day?
Father's Day was decent. It was decent. You know, some family stuff popped up, you know, while I was gone and everything, you know, so that was a little bittersweet. Yeah. But in all, like, I got a real cool gift, a Google Nest.
Okay.
I got a Google Nest, so you know, right. I can go over and look at what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
Make some calls. I could look at Netflix on this bitch. You know what I was thinking, Mike? And this just shows you, I guess you could say how old I am. But I was thinking about how spoiled my kids are.
Mm-hmm.
Because have you thought about this? Or maybe you might be too young for this yourself. But like the iPads and all of these tablets and shit,
yeah,
screen size is the same size of the TVs that some of us grew up watching.
Absolutely, bro. My daughter's iPad is huge. And she has one of the newer iPads. My daughter's been using an iPad since she was like 3 or 4 years old. And we've always like upgraded her iPads and the fact that she has one of the newer ones, and it's huge, bro. It's huge. So yeah, absolutely, fam. But does Trey have a phone?
Not yet. No.
So you have how old is Trey?
Trey will be 10 in August.
Okay. So I think we was a little early with Nakel. We got Nakel the phone when she was about like 8 or 9 years old. So she's 13 now. So I think that's about right. So yeah, bro, spoiled to death, fam. Absolutely, fam. Like the technology and the iPads and stuff like that is a thing for the children, bro. But you know, it's just the key to it is though. So make sure that, like, when Nakia had her iPad, we kept the educational stuff on there, the stuff that she needed from school, like apps and stuff. Like, we download those apps on there. So, you know, we keep it that way with that. And, you know, she gets a time frame of when to use it and when it's time to be over with. So, it's balanced. But absolutely spoiled, my guy. I didn't have my own cell phone until, I think, after I graduated high school. I used my old man's phone. The cell phone I had in high school, when I used to go out with my guys, my dad would give me his cell phone. So that's the cell phone I used, G. I didn't have my own cell phone until I graduated high school.
Yeah, this is the only number I've had. So yep. I've only had one cell phone numbers, one cell phone character.
Until they sold it. One number I've had. That was it.
Yeah, this is the one. Like, if you know my number, or if you have it stored in your phone still, it ain't changed.
Yeah.
You can still text me.
Have we talked about this? How many phone numbers do you know by heart? Like, by heart?
Ooh. Miriam's. My uncle's house number that they had for years. My homie D, his mom's number.
Yeah.
Their house number, that's it.
Oh man, well, you know more than me. I know one phone number by heart, and that's my wife's phone number. So if I was ever out fucked up and I had to call somebody and I didn't have my own phone, my wife is my only lifeline.
No, wait a minute. I think I know Lee's too.
Okay.
That's 4.
Yeah.
But they're easy numbers.
My wife's number is very easy
number,
so that's why I know about her. But I didn't know my mom's number by heart. I don't know my dad's number by heart. I don't know my brother's number by heart. Cell phones spoiled me, G. It spoiled me bad, fam. That's one thing a cell phone has done to me personally, and technology has done to me. It's like you said, like goes right on back to being spoiled. It has spoiled me to the point where I don't even think to like, yo, I need to learn everybody's phone number just in case I'm in a situation where like, hey, I need to use your phone number, guy. So I need to call my so-and-so. And I can only call my wife. And my wife doesn't answer numbers that she don't recognize. Now, if I call her multiple times, she'll end up answering whoever I'm calling from. But I'm just saying, though, in a situation where she's not available, I'm fucked. 911 is the only number I know by heart after that.
That's it.
Damn. So I'm spoiled by the technology and I need to do better.
Man, guess what I did this week?
Yeah.
Or last week. I beat the Simpsons game.
On
arcade.
Okay. No, I'm saying, play that on? Like, what do you mean?
It was at
like
an arcade. Arcade in Atlanta.
Okay.
So during our programming meetings, 300, shouts out to 300 Entertainment, they had rented out Slingshot in Atlanta for us. And they gave us cards. And we was playing the card, like we was playing the Simpsons game. I saw the Simpsons game. I was like, oh, I'm over here. Because if we got unlimited shit, I ain't never beat this game. I've gotten close,
Yeah.
Never beat this game. Shouts out to my boss. We played the Simpsons joint and we beat that motherfucker. I felt so accomplished. I felt like I won the Super Bowl. Because if you ever played that arcade game, you know that's a very fun arcade game. One of the best of all time. But it's hard to win it. And I wouldn't have won it if I didn't have an unlimited car. I fucking gave up. So we just go, oh, shit, there you go.
Yeah.
They end up beating that joint. Shouts out to Coach Moses. He says, what is the right age to get your kid their cell phone? Mike, you said,
like I said, I think Nakel got her phone when she was, I think me and my wife got her a phone when she was like eight or nine years old. So it's just, I think it just depends, bro. I think it all depends. It all depends on your living situation. Do you feel like your child would need a phone? I don't even think when we got Nakel the phone, I don't even think she needed one. I just felt like it was just a reward for her or something like that. It was like she was using an iPad. She got so used to it, you know. And you know how kids are nowadays. You got games on your phone, you know.
Yeah.
They want to play with your phone. And I think as a parent, you just got so fed up with the child wanting to use your cell phone. You'd be just like, all right, just get them one, you know. So I think it just depends. So, I mean, you can't really put an age on it. I'm not going to say. I could just tell you from my personal experience, my daughter, she had her first phone by she was 8 or 9 years old. So,
just yeah, we'll start talking about it at 10. See, Trey's not the most mature kid. So I'm already looking at Trey crazy if he get a phone.
Has he asked you? Has he ever like brought it up or anything like that? Or
yeah, he's like, you're not getting this motherfucker to play games.
Like, this is for emergency purposes only.
Right, this is for
yeah.
If you're over John's house and you're ready to come home, you just send a text or I mean, I guess for me, and this might sound bad, but if I see my son every day, why he need a cell phone to call me? Like, me and Miriam are together. Like, we're not in a situation where we're separated or divorced.
How's his how's his social life? He has friends?
Yeah, he got a couple of homies and shit. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if they got cell phones, but
man,
like I said on the pod, man, these kids lame.
See, I was gonna say every kid is different. See, my daughter's social life is off the charts, G.
Yeah,
she got so many friends, bro. They all got.
But let's be real, Mike. Let's take an honest assessment of our kids, Mike.
Yeah.
Do you look at your kids and be like, man, y'all lame as hell?
Oh, absolutely.
See, yeah, lame ass kids.
Yes, they lame, but also it's like they girls too. See, you got all boys. So
they lame as hell.
Easier to like, say they lame, G. You know what I'm saying?
Me and Mary be talking about our kids to their face. Get your lame ass up out of here. Like, we will eat our kids.
Yeah.
Like, we try to prepare our kids for the real world. You know, when they get to a certain age and folks start, you know, talking shit. Yeah. You got to talk shit back. I need Trey to be prepared. Right now, he ain't prepared.
Yeah.
He was talking about one kid in his class that was messing with him. And I was like, man, he that nigga. You got a weird ass name. You should be talking shit.
Yeah.
Oh, see.
Ah. Sometimes the ignorant genes don't fall to the child, man. Don't fall to your seed. And that's okay. That's all right. That ain't bad. He probably didn't take the ignorant gene from you, man. That's all. Or he hasn't grown into it yet.
Man, I just hope he's growing to it. Like, I don't want my kid to be the class clown because I wasn't the class clown. But I need him to be able to verbally and physically protect himself.
There you go. I get it.
When the session comes, man, you got to be ready.
You got to be ready for the roasting session.
Well, you need to, Pete, kids, y'all need to understand, one bad session could mess it up for you for a long time.
Yeah.
You could be good until that one day you get slipped. You slip and get caught, and somebody heat your ass, and you done for the rest of the year. Like, for the rest of the school year, you are done. You got to wait till the sixth grade to get your joints off.
Crazy.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
the clown that has everything, and then all of a sudden he get caught slipping on the wrong day. He can't talk about nobody until the sixth grade. And then you got to come correct it. You've been like, you get your school clothes out.
Yeah.
You get your jokes ready. Mm-hmm. I'm eating all these niggas in the sixth grade. Nah, you fuck up. It's rap. I don't want that for Trey, man. I don't want like some little kid, you know, say some lame ass joke, and then he say, "I know you are, but what am I?" I don't want that for him. That's why I'm nervous. I'm nervous about my son. Do he has the capacity?
Oh my God!
To protect himself in a session.
When will you be like, all right, he don't got it, so I need to. Are you kind of, do you want him to like kind of observe it from you, or just like inherit it on his own, or are you just waiting for it to kind of like just,
we have enough people in our family where between his dad, his cousins, me. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's enough to where he sees it, but you just
want him to implement it.
That's what I'm saying. Right. You want him to inherit it in himself and then take on that. You know,
can he implement it when it goes down? If he comes home, if he says John was talking shit, if me and his mom say, "What do you do?" I want to hear somebody roasted the shit out of his ass. Like,
right.
Yes, son. Yes.
We haven't came across that yet. We haven't got to cross that yet, huh?
If he come home and be like, "Man, no.
Damn.
Get your lame ass up there." Get him off.
Oh my God. But
Dad, we're gonna have a conversation about this. You got to be able to verbally and physically take care of yourself, man.
That's all he need. He need one of them. He have to keep the eye. One little session where you gotta have one little sit down talk with him, bang. I think he'll understand. He'll get it. He'll understand.
I hope so. Am I the only dad that feel like this though? Like,
I don't, absolutely not. No, absolutely not.
Like, don't you want your kids prepared for the session?
Absolutely not, bro.
You want your kid to be prepared for school. Absolutely. That means the lunchroom too. You don't want, like, I get everybody want to be a great parent. Everybody, you know, want their kids to be better than you and all that stuff. But you know what? You know what y'all parents got to prepare y'all kids for? The lunchroom table. Mm-hmm. The lunchroom table is very important to a child's development. All the stuff that goes down at the lunchroom table, they got to be prepared. You learn a lot of life lessons at the lunchroom table. You learn how to protect yourself at the lunchroom table. You know how to roast people at the lunchroom table. You learn all of your sports at the lunchroom table. Who got the flyest kicks at the lunchroom table? You find out who musty at the lunchroom table.
Very important.
Lunch session on
early life lessons table. At lunch.
At the lunchroom table.
Absolutely.
So if you come home and you crying because some shit that happened at the lunchroom table, goddamn.
You feel like
we got it now. I got to go to the lunchroom table and show you. Then I got to heat all these little ass kids, but then I'm the lame one because they're like, "Fam, you got on ankle socks, and we don't even wear, you know, kids don't wear ankle socks no more."
Crazy, they don't.
That's crazy. No, no. Trey was like, "Nah, nobody went on ankle socks, fam."
I feel like, why do I wear ankle socks? I'm gonna have to check.
When the fuck did that change?
Like, ankle socks is not a thing as a shorty. You can't be wearing ankle
Apparently,
socks.
Apparently, I saw it on TikTok too.
That's crazy. Nah, bro.
Some black dudes like, "Man, did y'all know that ankle socks are out of style?"
Fuck that. Stop. I got ankle socks on right now.
I do too.
Hell no. Now I have socks that kind of go up a little bit, bro, but I ain't never going off that. No, we're not going on that one. Bro.
Kids will never know the struggle of creating your own ankle socks. Like, there's a lot of shit that kids that are not going to know what we know. Yeah. Like, I want to sit at a kid's lunchroom table and hear what they're talking about.
I don't even need to. I don't even need to sit at the lunch table, bro. I didn't hear enough. I've heard enough to where I pick my daughter up from school, and I pull up waiting for her to come out on the playground, bro. I've heard enough. I said, I know exactly what's going on, G.
It's lighter than us, though, right?
And I don't know, Bang. I don't know. It might be heavier. It might be off another.
Mike, we've talked about on the pod how I grew up.
Look, Bang.
We're talking about me.
I done heard some shit, bro, for 5 minutes of kids being on the playground, bro. And I'm low-key shook for my 13-year-old, dog. I'm shook for her, you know? But, like I said, she's sociable. She got plenty of friends. She got friends at her school and everything like that. So I just hope that she stays in with the girls that she's friends with, and they all cool, and they just run in their little circle and whatever. You know what I'm saying? That's it, fam. I don't want them to be beefing with the other girl crew. I didn't see that. I've seen that, two different girl crews beefing with each other and shit like that. We don't want that. But I've heard these conversations from these kids on these playgrounds, bro.
You ever heard Nikhil say this, bitch?
No. See,
how would you feel?
Look,
if your daughter be like, this bitch?
Nah, man, bro.
This bitch with the handshake?
I know.
Are you going to be like, Nikhil?
Nikhil hates when, she hates when I curse. So I know this for a fact she wouldn't. I know Nikhil. See, Nikhil is she's shy and she's like friendly. Oh. She's really friendly, bro. Nikhil wants to be friends with everybody. Nikhil don't want no enemies. She don't want to be. And that's cool. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Ah, fuck that shit, man.
But that's okay for boys that might be a little different. But for girls,
I'm trying to be friends with all y'all niggas.
Nikhil want to be friends with
Coach, these shorties wear crews or highs, fam. These kids be around here looking like Kerry Kittles.
They different.
These kids be out here looking like Lawrence Molden.
They different.
Elliot Perry, nigga. Like, they be around here hooping in short shorts and long socks. Mm-hmm. What the fuck? Like, literally looking like Elliot Perry. Just be around here cross niggas over with some long ass socks. What the hell is going on in the world? What the hell? See, that's what I'm talking about. But no, Mike, I don't know.
I just texted Weezo asking was we good. So we're gonna see what he said. I just his response. And then what's crazy is too though, because I wanted to go to the bash and I told you I said I wanted to go. And I hit Weezo. I'm like, yo, I might be down there. I'm good.
He's like, yeah, he responded, said, y'all trolling. I ain't saying shit.
Nah, I'll talk. Let's get to the pod, bro. I'll get on that later.
All right, man. speaking of a lot of stuff going on in the family, shouts out to the Boston Celtics. The C's got it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The C's got it. Shouts out to Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, your finals MVP. Drew Holiday, who should have won MVP?
I honestly thought Tatum was going to get it. I felt like Tatum deserved it. I think Tatum, he led in all categories, major categories, points,
all of them,
assists, rebounds. I thought it was pretty clear that Tatum was going to get it. So when Jaylen Brown won, I was definitely shocked, but not upset about it. You know, not mad about it. You know, he deserves it. I mean, Jaylen Brown, he was pretty consistent, and it was good to see. Like, obviously, they didn't play great every single game, but it was good to see Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum both play at a consistent rate, you know, in this like level right here, right at the finals. Like, it was good to see them both play consistently good, you know, compared to how they played in, what year was that, 2022 against the Golden State. So from then to now, it was good to see both of your superstars show up. And that's what you need. You need both of your superstars to show up to win. So I'm not upset about Jaylen Brown winning it. I'm cool with it. I thought Tatum should have won it, though. But, you know, it's all good. But congratulations to the Boston Celtics. Gentlemen sweep, if that's what you want to call it, in five over the Dallas Mavericks. And honestly, I could just say that this finals wasn't competitive at all. No game was competitive. Like, we didn't get any, like, we didn't get anything to where, like, the game came down to the last 2 minutes. It pretty much was blowout. They tried to make a push, and come back, you know, in the fourth quarter. And then after that, 4 or 5 minutes left for the game's over. That's pretty much how every game played out. So, wasn't competitive at all. Honestly, shout out to the Dallas Mavericks, Luka, Kyrie. They had a great season. They had a great run. But, I mean, honestly, in all honesty, bro, I feel like when you really look at their run to the finals, bro, it just – it looks fluky now. It looks more like a fluke of them getting to the finals now, just seeing how they played. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, damn. Man, it would have been cool to get, like, a Anthony Edwards, Cat versus Jaylen Brown and Tatum. Or would have been cool to, you know, see a Jokic and Jamal Murray and them against Boston. Just to think that, like, those two would have matched up better against Boston. Because I honestly, I said when Dallas won and they went into it, I felt like they was outmatched. You know, Boston is clearly the deeper team. And Dallas Mavericks didn't stand a chance. They didn't stand a chance from the opening tip in game one. So, hey, they end up scooping one up out of there. But other than that, though, Dallas, I honestly just feel like they didn't belong there. They belonged because they won. It wasn't a good matchup, though. It wasn't a good matchup for them at all. And so it was easy for Boston to clear them in five. But, yeah. So that's my take on it, you know. It was easy money for Boston. Boston should have won.
Yeah. The better team won. The better team was always the Celtics. I did pick Dallas in seven.
Okay.
But the reason why I picked seven is because Boston will give you a game or two.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that Kyrie and Luka are good enough for two games.
Kyrie, for whatever reason, Kyrie is cursed in Boston. He's cursed. He hasn't won a game in Boston since he was traded from Boston.
Kyrie is proof positive that little shit that didn't work. What's that shit that they
Sage.
Call Sage, yeah.
Yeah.
That Sage might have worked.
Against
it might have worked.
It worked against him.
It might have worked. It might not have worked for him.
Oh, it worked for Boston.
But he only won one game since saging. And he ain't won in Boston. That was in Dallas. So he ain't won the game in Boston since he saged that bitch.
That is crazy, fam.
He might have woke up some wrong ass spirits.
Man, bro.
You need to rethink that shit, goddamn. Look,
yeah, Kyrie just he didn't show up. Luka, you know, at the end of the day, Kyrie and Luka, they didn't do enough to win. Their role players didn't do enough to win. You could see the inexperience amongst that team. And it showed. The inexperience showed, and them just being outmatched. And the depth of the Boston Celtics, they were just too deep. And they had no shot. So congratulations to the Boston Celtics. Congratulations to Jason Tatum. I'm happy for Tatum. Happy for Jaylen Brown. Happy for Al Horford. You know, shout out to Jrue Holiday. Damn, the Bucks didn't want Jrue Holiday, huh?
Man.
Shout out to my Milwaukee people. I know a lot of people saying that if Jrue was still in Milwaukee, that wouldn't have pushed the Bucks over the top, you know, but I don't know.
It would have.
I find that hard to believe.
I
find it hard to believe that if you don't have Jrue Holiday on your team, y'all are not, you know, competing. Obviously, y'all had injuries and shit like that, but man, giving up Jrue, bringing in Dame, just, you know, kind of just turned our team into a different team. So we'll see. But, you know, shout out to Jrue anyway, though. Shout out to the Boston Celtics.
I think I would have gave, low key, I would have gave that shit to Jrue Holiday.
I wouldn't have been mad at that either. Oh, it was a lot. I feel like if Porzingis didn't get hurt and he played at that level that he played in game one, where he came out right off the bench and had 18 points If he would have, if he didn't get hurt and he would have continued to play that way throughout the whole series, and shout out to Kristaps Porzingis as well. He got his revenge on the Dallas Mavericks because we know him and Luka don't like each other. They don't like each other, right?
Yeah, that shit's like that's just like it's fucking cold war over there.
They don't like each other. So I remember with Dallas, when Porzingis was in Dallas, that whole him and Luka experience, that was terrible. It didn't work.
You know, I just thought about this. And if Coach Moses is in here, because he has a great basketball mind too. DG, you in here too. When have we ever seen European basketball beef? Like, which European basketball players was beefing in the NBA?
Oh, man.
This feels like the first time I could think of it. Like, you didn't hear, like, Dirk Nowitzki beefing with, you know, Andreas Nocioni.
Yeah.
Like, fuck him. Like, who had Andreas, was that Andre Bargnani or whatever dude name was that played for Toronto in New York? Like, was he ever beefing with somebody European?
This might have been the first.
I thought the European players stick together. Apparently, they don't in this case. Like, this is Luka versus Kristaps.
Kristaps.
The first European beef in the NBA.
Crazy.
Somebody need to find that out. We need to find like the Euro beefs that's happened in the NBA over time.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was some behind the scenes shit that we ain't know. Like maybe, you know, Arvydas Sabonis was fucking with Sharonis Marshalonis' girlfriend, but we didn't know that shit. But that shit's gonna like come out like the top 10 NBA beefs or like on the Vice TV show that LeBron and them got that I haven't watched yet because I ain't got Vice. But we need to find out like the Euro beefs. Like, but was Rudy Fernandez into it with another Spanish player? Like, was Rudy Fernandez and Manu Ginobili into it?
Not that we know of.
They see each other on the court. They start cussing each other out in their native language.
Yeah.
All of the black players looking like, what the fuck wrong with them?
Yeah.
Like, who's the Charles Oakley of European players? See, it's stuff like that. We need to find out about European players for us to connect with them more.
Yeah.
Like, who is the Charles Oakley of European players?
Yeah.
Who is that European player that, like, just will walk up at half court and be like, I'll fuck you up. I fuck you up. After game, locker room. Speaking of bro, after game, locker room.
Oh, my God.
Fuck you up.
Oh,
like what was Luka and Kristaps beefing for?
I would love to know, bro.
The ball?
I would love
to know. I'm not gonna shoot the ball too much.
No, Luka's still a kid though, bro. So a lot of people aren't fans of Luka's playing style. Some people say he's still ball. People say he's ball dominant. You know, hey, maybe Kristaps Porzingis felt like he wasn't giving the ball enough. He probably said some wild European shit to him, fam. Well, I don't know. They like
it.
That shit matter probably.
Matter of fact, Mike.
Talk shit, so.
Yeah, matter of fact, Mike, could it be that this shit's just as false as apparently Jason Kidd, Jimmy Jackson, and Jamal Mashburn over Tony Braxton was?
Oh, so you said that they wasn't beefing at all. Wasn't no beef.
Hey, Luka said that ain't no beef.
Luka said they cool. They tight. Good.
He said it ain't no beef.
Yeah. I call cap on that shit. But hey, I could be wrong. I want to know Kristaps Porzingis. I want to hear his response.
Yeah.
I would love to hear his response to that.
We got to hear something, fam. We got to hear something because I really want to know what the beef is.
Yeah,
but very interesting how that looks.
But for now, Kristaps Porzingis is on top. He got the ring, so he got the last laugh. So shout out to Kristaps Porzingis.
Yeah.
Kristaps Porzingis was gonna die on that court, but he said, I'm playing. I don't care.
And that fam got a new injury. And Kristaps got a new injury.
Yeah, them knees ain't holding up.
It ain't even his knees. This is like his calf or some shit. Okay. Yeah, like a weird ass dislocation of like a muscle or a ligament in his calf or some shit.
Weird.
See, man, these kids ain't at the lunchroom talking about this shit, man. these kids is in the lunchroom talking about the latest TikTok dance.
Yeah, bro, that's the new day and age, man.
Remember, you used to get talked about for your basketball knowledge or lack thereof. Hey, damn, I'm missing a recipe. Speaking of the WNBA, speaking of basketball, transition to the WNBA real quick. Mike, I'm about to say something that might be very controversial.
Why not, Bang? Everybody else is saying controversial shit about the WNBA. Let's evolve ourselves.
Mine's is different than anything that I've heard.
Yeah, go ahead.
Pull up a chair. I feel comfortable in getting off this tape. Because everybody's talking about Caitlin Clark this and Caitlin Clark that. And she's getting bullied and all of this stuff. You know what? Whatever. The conversation is getting on my damn nerves in the first place. Mm-hmm. But Mike, I think we just need to admit that the WNBA is full of hacks. That's what it is.
This could be true.
The WNBA is full of hacks. Women are hacks. Yeah. I've come to this conclusion that they play great fundamental basketball, but they'll hack your ass. And that's the game. Like, was Angel Reese's flagrant one, was it a foul? Yes, it was. Was she going for the ball? Yes, she was. Is Angel Reese a hack? Yes, she is.
Bang, let me tell you something. To your point. I watch a lot of WNBA.
Mm-hmm.
Been watching WNBA for a while. And you are absolutely correct, bro. Women are hacks. I've seen, even in college basketball, they be hacking. They be foul. I've seen, more women foul out of basketball games than the NBA players foul out of basketball games, bro. In the WNBA, they get six. Okay. They get six in the WNBA. But they still be racking them up, bro. They be racking them up. They hack. So, to your point, you are absolutely correct. So ain't nothing controversial about that shit. That is just actual facts if you watch it. And the Angel Reese foul on Caitlin Clark was a clear flagrant one. Clear. Yeah. Of course it's
it was a basketball.
I think Angel Reese needs to be schooled on, just because you're making a basketball play on somebody does not mean that it's not flagrant. If you flagrantly can foul somebody making a basketball play. Now, if it was a non-basketball play, then it would be a flagrant two and you would have got ejected. So let Angel Reese know, like, your case is that, it was a basketball play, so it shouldn't be a flagrant foul. It's a flagrant foul. You went right upside her head. So it's clear as day. And there are plenty of other fouls like that in WNBA, bro. They be reaching out like that. They be hacking. Aaliyah Boston, she's a hack. I've seen. But she's a great shot blocker, though. So in that sense, like she gets a lot of block shots, but she also hacks too. So I've seen it, So there's other WNBA players that hack as well. So it ain't no things. A lot of WNBA players that play good defense, but they be hacking. Shit, Caitlin Clark, I seen her almost foul out of a game. Yeah. Five fouls in the third quarter early. Hey, play some hacks, bro.
I was looking at the discourse again when it comes to this Caitlin Clark shit, and I was just like, yeah, they hacks. Mm-hmm. That's what it seemed like to me.
Yeah, absolutely, like, bro.
They're not trying to hurt each other. That's just the way that the game is played.
I don't know,
and
bro.
I think you say what?
It's like when women. It's like when women fight, kind of like when they in a fight with each other. It's almost like
women fight more aggressively than men. That's
when men fight. We trying to we more like this, and we trying to make
niggas
sure.
Trying to be cool when they fight. Let's
be trying
real.
To be cool. There you
some
go.
Niggas be trying like some.
We try
some.
To be cool, and then we making sure that we connect. Women are just go fly. G, they letting their hands fly no matter. If the shit's landing or not, it's gonna look crazy. So that's the same.
They be trying to hammer fist. They be trying to hammer fist and all. That's what the WNBA is.
It's
to
the
me.
Same way like, when they play defense.
I'm watching all of these Caitlin Clark highlights that folks wanna throw out there when she gets touched, and I'm like, Damn, I just watched the WNBA game the other day. Shorty just got clotheslined. We really talking about this shit here? But then I'm just looking at the discourse and I'm looking at all this shit and I was like, these motherfuckers hacks. There's no way around it. They're hacks.
Yeah.
So why is Caitlin Clark special? Because she a hack too. All of them are hacks. Yeah. And I think if we understood that the women in the WNBA are hacks, the discourse will end.
Women,
this is par for the course, huh?
Women play defense like they fight.
Right? Yes.
The same way they fight is the same way they play defense. Wow.
A lot of games look like Detroit versus Chicago.
All right.
A lot of games look like Detroit versus LA.
Mm-hmm.
Detroit versus Boston.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that, you know, folks about to be out here fighting like Larry Bird and Dr. J. But women play more aggressive basketball than men.
Yep.
And in playing that, it's going to be some hacking involved.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what the fuck they think this is, but you're not going to take the free-willing play of the NBA. You're not going to think you Steph Curry in this bitch. These women will beat your ass.
That's what they own, huh?
That's, look, man, it don't matter who you is in the WNBA. I feel like anybody can get it.
Yeah.
Why are we talking about Caitlin Clark?
Yeah.
She a hack too. Yeah. We've seen a couple of clips of her ass just stinkily throwing bitches.
Mm-hmm.
And Caitlin Clark just got to get a little bit thicker.
I said that. That was one of the things I said. I said, look, she just got to get a little more meat on her, bro. You know what I'm saying? Get in the gym, hit them curls, push-ups, you know, bench press, and she going to be just fine. She'll be just fine, bro. Just fine. You know, I'm ready for her to play. I'm ready for her to play against the Phoenix Mercury because I want to see what Diana Taurasi going to do.
Nigga, Diana Taurasi going to cook that one.
And I honestly, and when Diana Taurasi said that shit about her, and you know, well said, like she answered to like how she was going to transition to the WNBA from college, and she pretty much in a nutshell said like it ain't gonna be sweet like it is now, and she was right. The only thing I didn't like about when she said it, it was just how she was coming off when she said it. It just felt kind of like she was coming off as a hater when she was saying it, but I understood exactly where she was coming from. But yeah, when they play against each other, Diana Taurasi definitely coming with the clothesline.
Well, elbow, you know what? Let me rephrase. Let me rephrase what I just said. I'm actually going to rephrase what I said, because the pressure is more on Diana Taurasi than it is on Caitlin Clark.
Okay.
Because, Lord, if Caitlin Clark come out there and torch that woman.
Ooh, that's what I – look. It's either go two ways. Caitlin gonna have a career night, or Caitlin gonna go 2 for 12, and she gonna lead the game with a black eye. We're gonna go one way or the other, because DT is gonna try to put her on the ground. Okay?
Matter of fact, I even got something better for you, Mike, because I don't know, I ain't paid attention that heavily.
Yeah,
has Caitlin Clark cooked a star yet in the WNBA?
Nope. Like her big games, the big games that she's had so far, they've been against like the slouches, bum squads. She's played the Liberty twice already. She had average games. The game against the Aces was pretty much average. So she hasn't had like a lights out. She's only had like one 30-point game so far this year, and that was against.
So she played the Dallas. She played the Dallas Wings. Aguna K over there.
Mm-hmm.
The box score. She had 21. It's okay. 21 cooking in the WNBA.
That's respectable, bro. 21 a game. That's respect. 21. So let me see. Let me see, bro. Let me look at her box score, bro. I'm gonna look at the box score right now, fam. Let's see everything she's done. She had a 20 piece. And the first game of the season against the Connecticut Sun, she had 20. But it was a struggle. It was a struggle night, 5 for 15.
They got their ass kicked by the Liberty.
Liberty, first game against the Liberty, she only had 9, but she came back the next game and she had 22, and she shot 9 of 17. So that's respectable against the Liberty. Then against the Seattle Storm, she had 21. She shot 6 for 16. So that was yeah. And then she had a 30 piece against the Sparks. Sparks, they suck. And then she had another 20 piece against the Storm, but she didn't shoot well. And then she had a 30 piece against the Mystics, who was the worst team in the league. Shout out to Paige Beckers. Congratulations. You have been drafted by the Washington Mystics. So shout out to her. She had a 30 piece against them. And then she struggled against the Sun again and struggled against the Atlanta Dream. And then she came out and she shot well against the Sky. 23 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists. Almost had a triple-double. So she hasn't had that game yet where she's cooked like one of the stars in the league. She hasn't had one of those yet.
Like, where's that? I'm good with the injury shit. I feel y'all, but I'm good on that shit.
We need to see her cook Kelsey Plum.
Yeah, I need her to cook somebody.
We want to see you. We need to see you outshoot Sabrina. You know what I'm saying? We need to see that. She's already played the Liberty twice.
Right. We need to see you go back and forth with a big name in the WNBA. We need to see SportsCenter led off with them on the 30th. So they play June 30th at 3 o'clock Eastern, 2 p.m. Central, the Indiana Fever and the Phoenix Mercury.
Oh, yeah.
I need you to cook Diana Taurasi.
She got to. Cook Brittany Griner.
She in the career of Diana Taurasi, she going to have all the respect. If she chef her ass up, yeah, the rest of the league going to be like, all right, good shit. We fuck with you now. She'll be okay. She ain't cooked nobody yet. She ain't cooked nobody.
She ain't cooked nobody yet. I agree with you on that. I'm with you. I think she needs one of those. She needs one of those moments where she gets the W and she have a career night, you know, against one of them star players, bro.
Yeah, when she do a podcast with the knuckleheads and Darius Miles say,
who's the first person? Who's the first person in the
WNBA that bust your ass? Like, yeah. I want her to be like, well, shit, my first game in the WNBA, Anike Ogunike, she cooked my ass.
Yeah.
But who was the first person you felt like you cooked?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I circled that. I circled that Diana Taurasi game. I ain't even going
to She play. Had to. She has had to. Look, when DT said that shit, bro, she had to circle that on the schedule. Like, it's got to be the one, bro. And it'll mean something too, not only because it's Diana Taurasi, but also Diana Taurasi is playing serviceable basketball this season. Like,
she's the oldest
42 years old, bro, but she's still out there balling. She's still out there balling.
Like, they average damn near the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, let's first say that. They average damn near the same thing. I know there was people in the who looked at her not making the USA roster. And there was some people that was like, oh, nah. Look at Diana Taurasi numbers. They closely match that. Why she got to be on the game?
Look, man, Diana Taurasi.
So there's some people like that.
Diana Taurasi is the enforcer. She is the leader. There's no way you leaving her off the team, G. Like,
yeah, I mean, no way.
Like the whole Caitlin Clark USA conversation. I get why people want her on the team, and you know it's possible she could. But when you really look at the roster, G, who are you taking off, respectively, to replace?
Nobody.
You can't take anybody off that roster and say Caitlin Clark deserves this spot over you. You can't do it. It's not.
What I'm saying though
and that's not even a knock to Caitlin either.
No, she said according to her coach. Caitlin Clark said they woke up a monster. And she came out the next game and she wet the bed.
Wet the bed bad, bro.
She was supposed to come out that next game with a 40-piece.
40-piece, G.
Bitches, this is what y'all left off the team. Like, it's supposed to be some shit like that.
But she has plenty of time. She has plenty of time to do that, bro. She has plenty of time.
Plenty of time, but she got to cook a motherfucker. She got to cook
one of the players that's on the roster.
Yeah, she got to cook Kelsey.
You gotta cook Diana. You gotta cook Sabrina. You gotta cook Kelsey Plum. You gotta cook Asia Wilson. You gotta do something to one of them on the team. And then we get to start talking. Like, hey,
I see what we're doing. Yeah, and I know all of these people that's in love with Caitlin Clark don't love the WNBA. They love the idea of Caitlin Clark. And yeah. I can tell you right now, I'm one of those people that totally understand why everybody love, like everybody's in love with Caitlin Clark. It's called representation. Mm-hmm. And if we was looking for representation in top and tennis, golf, when Serena and Venus got into the joint, we started watching. When Tiger got that, we started watching. Representation. Look, matters.
I'm gonna say this.
So I get it. Women.
Go ahead.
I get it. So I'm not one of those people that is stupid when it comes to why people are watching Caitlin Clark. And I'm one of those people that say, y'all just need to admit it. It's okay. Because the only reason why I was watching golf is because of Tiger Woods. The reason why I was watching tennis is because of Venus and Serena. I was not watching tennis when Zena Garrison was out there doing a thing. It was Venus and Serena, damn it. With that being said, they were cooking folks or cooked folks on their way. Caitlin got to do the same thing. And it might have to be white on white crime to kick this off. She got to cook Diana Taurasi. She got to put that woman on skates. Yeah. She got to score at least 30 on her. She got to have a pose like Good Times. And all that shit, and Sports Center gonna lead off with that. And they're like, how do you feel about that? It's just another game. But she gotta give a smirk afterwards. She gotta cook Diana Taurasi. And once she do it, Diana Taurasi going, hey, she cool, y'all. She good.
She cool.
That's what's gonna happen.
Yeah, respectively. And it's crazy you say that too. Some people watch Caitlin Clark in the WNBA just for the representation of their skin color. And like, that's all good. And that's all fine and dandy. And I can't wait till like the WNBA gets more representation of us. And there's women in college right now that we can look forward to in the next few years that can bring in more viewers. And if it's only because of representation, that's okay. But shout out to players like, you know what I'm saying, Juju Watkins, who, you know what I'm saying, obviously is going to be one of the dopest college players ever and is going to make that transition to the WNBA. You got other players like Big Fo. Shout out to Big Fo, Fly J Johnson. I feel like she going to be must-see TV when she gets to the WNBA because she got that charisma, G. You know what I'm saying? She going to bring that charisma, that energy, you know what I'm saying, that LSU energy that she got. She going to bring that into the WNBA. It's going to be a great representation for us. You know, and it's just gonna uplift the sport even more, bro. Just make the competition even better. So shout out to everybody that's out there that's casual WNBA fans and y'all watch Caitlin Clark because she's white, and that's okay, and that's all right because she's a great white basketball player. She's a great basketball player in general. But if you watch just because she's white and she represents you, and that's all right. Ain't no problem with it, it's all good.
Just admit it. Admit it. Don't lie about it. Don't try to
be in the comments like you a WNBA guru or something like that. You know what I'm saying? That's not what you are. You know, you just
don't lie. That's all I'm saying. Don't lie about it. Because the only reason why I was watching golf was Tiger Woods. Absolutely. I was watching women's tennis because of Venus and Serena. I forgot the black dude name who like went to Wimbledon in a final or some shit. I don't even know who Buddy Ass name is. I do know who Zena Garrison is. I ain't watched tennis because of her. Uh-huh. Caitlin Clark, look, we know it. You ain't got a lot of kick it. Admit it. Yo, my daughter looks like Caitlin Clark. And I'm watching Caitlin Clark because she's a great representation of what my daughter wants to be.
It's all good.
Somebody be like, so why come you can't watch Asia Wilson? Not saying that Asia Wilson's not good. She is. But Asia Wilson don't look like my daughter. Caitlin do. And I know, as you as a black reporter, your daughter sees Asia Wilson. She's probably going to be like, yo, she looks like me. Just don't lie about it. And just don't be a dick or don't be racist about it. Don't lie about it. Don't be racist about it.
Yeah.
Because it did start getting weird.
Yeah.
It started getting weird with some of the shit that they started saying. It's like Caitlyn was like, oh, y'all can keep me away from that shit.
Yeah, at this point, yeah. It's definitely getting way past weird at this point.
Yeah, it's getting way past some of these old niggas' bad times when it comes. But again, I don't blame you if you're watching it because she's white. I don't. Because there's a lot of shit I started watching because I saw a black person.
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is. Oh, Billboard. Billboard came out with their 50 top songs. So far, Mike. Got another list.
Run that list down real quick. Let's run through that real quick.
All right, let's go through this real quick. So, according to the list, the number one song, or at least, because they don't have them numbered, but they have Sabrina Carpenter, Espresso. Kendrick Lamar is on there. Not Like Us.
Okay.
I think this is a lie because I know a lot of people that don't like Texas Hold'em by Beyonce.
I know a lot of people that do like that song, though. That makes sense.
Me not to make a list.
Hey, you ever told that bitch, I got G's? You ever make a bitty hit her knees? All right. Shout out to JP.
Hey, met that nigga. Met that nigga in Atlanta.
That nigga is funny.
So you that you nigga met him? Is, yes, we met him in Atlanta. He's a hell of a, okay. Before we get, I'm going to get to him in a minute. They got Future, Metro Boomin, Kendrick Lamar, like that on the list.
Okay.
Tinashe, Nasty on there. Keep going to see Beyonce, Bodyguard, Sexy Red, Get It Sexy on this bitch.
Okay.
21 Savage, Red Worm, Tim's, Love Me, JJ. I like that song. The kids like it too.
Okay.
Glorilla, Wanna Be On Here.
Okay.
Money Long Made For Me.
Now, that technically came out last year, though, right?
I guess, yeah.
That song Future came out last year.
Boomin' the Weekend. Still Don't Trust You. Cash Go Bang. Fish on there. Kalani at the Hours. SZA Saturn. Willow Big Feelings is on this list. Megan Thee Stallion Hiss is on here. JP Bad Biddy on there, Four Bats, Act Two.
Okay.
Some good representation on here.
No Drake.
But yeah, JP was at the meetings and stuff. That's a cool kid, man. All
right.
I mess so with him.
Is he cool serious? Dude. Is he serious about his music?
Oh yeah, he's serious. He's underneath Roc Nation.
Really?
Yeah, it's a label that's distributed through Roc Nation. Yeah.
Okay. That's good. That's good to know. That's good to know.
Buddy Ass is hilarious, though. He is hilarious.
Okay.
Just because he's funny, it makes me want to go listen to more of his music.
Okay. Yeah.
Drop a bitty
I'm intrigued. So.
He's from Milwaukee, you know?
I didn't know that.
He's from Milwaukee.
Dang. Yeah. Shout out to the Milwaukee fam, man. Yeah,
he's from Milwaukee.
Got y'all one right there, man. Shout
trying
out
to be the Diva. Trying to be the biggest rapper since Cuckoo Cow.
That's crazy. Shout out to him
out
man.
There.
Right.
But yeah, he from Milwaukee, man. Shouts right. out to them. Yeah. So I went to Atlanta last week. It's some stuff I can't say on the pod, but I will say this: if a song is released by a certain somebody, the allegations are going to all be out there. All the conspiracy allegations.
You just gonna leave it at that?
Yes.
All right, cool.
Yes, the conspiracy allegations are gonna be out there, Jack.
Okay.
I was like, where are y'all really doing this, huh? Oh, boy. I told my boss, I said, man, we out here watching the conspiracy theory live and direct, G, at being created. I can't see no other reason for somebody saying, oh, word, for real? With that being said, though, you know who I'm excited about, Mike? Well, first off, Sweetie got probably the best song she's ever made in her life.
Out the 90 record?
No.
Oh, unreleased record.
She got a, we told them that
y'all heard a record. Y'all heard a record from her? Okay.
90 sounds like a commercial song. Like 90 sounds like you can hear that shit on an Old Navy joint. Can hear that shit. And like Mean Girls too. Like as they like dancing to a number towards the end of the movie and all that shit. But she got one with a Jill Scott sample, The Way.
Okay.
We were all like, yo, this is the best song she ever made.
Okay.
Y'all need to drop that as soon as possible.
Okay.
But Marsha Ambrosius.
Is she dropping or what, bro? They thought she got like a Dr. Dre produced album or some shit?
Yeah, she's on Aftermath.
Dude, is that? Yeah. She got some shit?
Oh, she got some joints.
Okay.
She got this one joint that she played for us. I yelled out, yep, no pullout music on deck.
Oh, shit.
Oh, she got some no pullouts, G.
Okay.
She got some leave it ins. All
right.
She got some, not even no Oh My Bads.
Okay.
She got, I meant to do that. And you let me. Yeah, the music got me.
Okay.
No pullout jams. I was not excited about a lot of music I heard.
Okay.
Skylar Blatt. I like her. I like her joint with Chris Brown. Marsha is probably the one that I was excited about. So like I said, Sweetie has one that we hope they release soon.
Uh-huh.
And that joint is nice. It's the best Sweetie song I ever heard.
Okay.
Outside of that, it wasn't really nothing that I heard that, like, in years past, we went and I was texting niggas. Like, you know, you ain't even get no text about somebody coming.
Right, yeah.
No, because it wasn't nothing that made me go, oh, shit.
Okay.
Well,
Kendrick doing his concert tomorrow. Hopefully we get the Kendrick album in the next couple weeks.
Now, tomorrow, I expect to see a number of surprises.
At the concert?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not saying I heard anything from anybody. Just saying that the way it was insinuated, that's going to be a culture-making moment. Look, now, anytime we hear shit like that, you get let down. It's like, damn, we thought this would be bigger than that.
True.
But the one thing I would say about this Kendrick shit is I feel like this is his moment. This is his time. If I could compare this to anybody, nothing's happened yet, ladies and gentlemen. Like I said, I don't know anything. I've heard insinuations. I've heard that this is going to be big for the culture. It's a culture-making moment. Mike, we were not old enough to process it. But go look at the Thriller documentary on Paramount Plus. And you'll hear them talk about Motown 25.
Mm-hmm.
And how Motown 25 was a big culture-defining moment for Michael Jackson.
Okay.
That's what this needs to be for Kendrick Lamar on Juneteenth.
Okay.
He needs a Michael Jackson Motown 25 type moment that the culture is going to talk about years and years from now. He can't go up in there mailing in. We need surprises. We need special guests. We need epic moments. This is just him. This is him. Mm-hmm. And considering what he did and where things stand now, this is his chance to take it, put the nail in the coffin over there, to end that, get that out the way, and to make a culture-defining moment, Juneteenth in L.A. It's a holiday out there tomorrow.
Yeah.
Not just Juneteenth, but it's Pop Out and Show Niggas Day. That's what he needs.
Yeah. We'll see. I'm ready. Just perform Euphoria and They Not Like Us and we good, bro. And I know everything else is just going to play itself out. I know everything else is going to be monumental. But I need him to perform both of those songs.
Hey, you better get it out there. Oh, man.
That's it.
But yeah, man. I mean, that's about it, man. So shit, end us off.
Some Dude Pod, rate, like, subscribe. Y'all already know, man. The Barber Shed Network is where you can find Some Dude Pod. And any other place you get podcasts, we are there. Twitter at Some Dude Pod, IG at Some Dude Pod, Facebook group hashtag Some Dude Pod. I'm Mike B. That's Jar Bang, bro. We gone, bro.
Yo, 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 it's your girl Nikel, and this is Some Dude Podcast. We out. Peace.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.